Welcome back, nerds, to episode 15 of Two Nerdy Dads. As always, I'm Jimmy Palmquist, and with me we have Jason Applegate. Say hey, Jason.
Hey, nerds, what's up?
So, as I said, we're on episode 15. We are getting older by the week. Who knew? what do we got going on this week, Jason?
Well, lots of, like, little bits of news, most of it coming from the New York Comic Con, which seemed to, I don't know if you thought this or not, just seeing the news coming out, but I was like, wow, I feel like we're getting more bits of news at this Comic-Con than we did at the San Diego Comic-Con.
I think you're right. We talked about it a little bit, and to be honest, I'm getting a little jealous of our East Coast brethren, because we sure didn't get all that much news coming out of San Diego this year.
Yeah, exactly. Some of is that the first image of Daredevil has been released from the Netflix series that is going up, and that was interesting. I don't know about you, but the first thing I thought of when I saw it was the old 1980s Incredible Hulk episode, or what television special I think it was with Daredevil, and he had this sort of just straight-up black costume with the mask over the top portion of his face. And it was from the 80s version, just brutal. I don't know. I just was like, this is the most boring Daredevil ever. Because, I mean, you're a huge Daredevil fan, you know, comparatively, I think. He's one of your favorite characters. And I don't know about you, but it's always, for me, the authentic red, you know, horned costume. And so when I was a kid and I saw that, I'm like, that's not Daredevil. What are they doing? But
that is so funny, and I'm glad I didn't know about that 80s appearance of Daredevil.
Oh, you got to see it. That's got to be. I'm going to find that and rewatch it so that we can have it as a recommendation or non-recommendation. I don't know, depending on how awful it is.
That is too funny.
For future viewers, because I'm sure you can find it on YouTube or something like that. But yeah, the old Lou Ferrigno Hulk, and I think it was like a weeknight special. It was like a special event episode. That was maybe an hour and a half long or something like that, and it had Daredevil. It took place in Hell's Kitchen, and I think Murdoch was defending David Banner,
yeah,
or maybe the Hulk. I don't even remember, but you know the plot wasn't much as they usually aren't from the 80s. But I do remember the costume was highly disappointing because I wanted to see the red. But I guess I looked into it a little bit more and. And actually, when Frank Miller made the run on Daredevil, which I haven't read but have always wanted to, and Romita drew it, they sort of did a Batman Year One thing with him and went back and redid his origin. And his first costume was that solid black costume. And I'm not sure if the comic predates the really bad television show or vice versa. But either way, I think it lends itself more credibility to the costume that we're seeing in this image. And I think, too, what I read about the costume for the new series of Netflix is that it is being called his first costume, so obviously implying that it will not be the ultimate costume. You know, his costume will evolve. Who knows how many episodes it takes to evolve. And hopefully it evolves into, in my opinion, the red one, although a lot of people like the classic yellow and red one, too. So I don't know. What are your thoughts as a Daredevil fan?
Well, I'm about to make a lot of Daredevil fans angry, and I do this a lot. Go against the grain, I guess you could say. I was also a fan of the black and red armored one. I know. That's the worst, but I actually enjoyed that. When I first saw this image of Charlie Cox as Daredevil, I immediately went to Stick, training him, his mentor.
Ah, yeah.
I know what I thought of with him showing him the ropes, how to do it, and I can't wait to see this because Scott Glenn is going to be playing Stick, and I'm so excited to see how that goes. But that was my first thought, like, okay, you're a newbie, you're just trying this out, you're training, sort of like what you said with Batman Year One. I did not realize Frank Miller thing, but that's what I thought of, and I'm like, okay, cool, this could be really good. I never... Kind of like when they revealed Wonder Woman's outfit, I never thought, oh, this is the one, this is it, it's always going to be this, you know, look.
Yeah.
So, no, I wasn't frustrated or mad at all. I just immediately went to I think this is year one. They're just kind of, he's training and all that. But added on top of the costume, it was cool because they were talking to Charlie Cox about, he's Matt Murdock, about being on Netflix. And he said, it's so cool. It's different the way they're filming it because they don't need to film it for TV for commercials. They don't need to film it for cliffhangers at the end of the episode. They're basically filming a story, and they can focus on character development. They don't have to worry about rehashing what happened last episode. I was really, really excited to hear that because I'm a big fan of what Netflix is trying to do and Amazon, as also Hulu, too. And it's sort of reworking the Hollywood system, so to speak, because in my opinion, I think big Hollywood movies, I think they're broken. I think the studio system's broken, and I think the way the television system works is broken. And I really like that we're not necessarily trying to fix it. We're just trying other ways of doing it. So I really hope it takes off.
Yeah, I think you're making a good point about the Netflix, you know, the way that they can film it. I don't know if you've watched many of the Netflix, but they release it all at once, don't they? And it's like you can just binge-watch the whole thing if you want to or pace it out as you need to. But you're right. They don't have to rehash anything. They don't have to have these cliffhangers. They can just tell a story. And in a lot of ways, it's like a 12-hour-long movie that they can that they can sort of film all at once and
that's
break it up.
That's exactly what Charlie Cox referenced. Well, yeah, you're basically going to see a 12-hour movie, and I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And this is just one of four that's coming out? Because they're going to have For Hire and I can't remember.
What is the third one? Why can I not think of it? I've got Doctor Strange on my brain, and that's not it because that's one of the movies that's coming out.
How strange.
So, yes. Heroes for Hire, and what was the other one? Jessica Jones, wasn't it? The other one? I think it is. I'm pretty positive it is because I was excited about a female protagonist. But I'll have to look into that, and we'll talk about it in a future episode. Redeem ourselves for forgetting.
Well, we're going to call it old man moment right there. That's what we're going to call
it. There you go, right? Old man moment, exactly. So I think that I'm excited for Daredevil. I think he's a cool character. I think they can do him right. He's just an interesting figure. You know, Murdock is too, I think. So I like that whole thing. What about the other rumor that kind of came out around New York Comic Con was the Suicide Squad movie that is rumored to be in production. Now, it was heavily rumored and before Batman versus Superman news came out. It was sort of like the niche thing that people were talking about. And they were talking about it as being a sort of lower budget kind of movie. And now with the success of Guardians of the Galaxy, it's sort of taken, it's picked up steam again amongst fans and hopefully amongst amongst Hollywood as well when they saw the success of these relatively, unique and unknown characters getting, screen time and how can he tell the story and all that stuff and make it be successful. And so there's rumored characters to come out, and I'm trying to find the list here. Of course, the two central characters that will kind of carry the series are Deadshot is one of them. Yeah.
Is Harley Quinn in there?
He's not listed amongst them, and I wonder why to an extent, but also kind of wonder. I guess I'm not surprised, but I'm still wondering why. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Well, I was curious if they had it, because the Suicide Squad movie, as a rumor, makes total sense, because that's one of the things that the CW doesn't seem to be able to do, is have a spinoff of a TV show like that.
Yeah.
And to me, the only reason why Warner Brothers would protect it is if they're going to have a movie. And then the other rumor we know is out there is that I think both Fox and CW have tried to incorporate Harley Quinn into the shows, and both times they're like, no, you can't do Harley Quinn. We have plans for her.
Yeah, I don't know if she's – maybe they're saving her for a Batman. You know, that's the only thing I can think of is – because it would kind of be, in a way, a shame if her first appearance is in Suicide Squad when she is such a Batman character. So I don't know. I don't know. But, yeah, she's not listed amongst them. The two main characters are – I have finally found it, thankfully – Deadshot and Captain Boomerang. So, and they're pretty much steadfast. I haven't read a ton of Suicide Squad, but they're almost always on the team from my experiences anyway.
I know Deadshot. I'm not familiar with Suicide overall, and I don't know much about, what did you say, Captain Boomerang?
Yeah, Captain Boomerang, which I'm sure he's got to be in, you know, Flash at some point too. So again, I think it's probably a good thing, because we've always talked about, you know, DC sort of keeping their television series separate from their movies, mm-hmm. so that you can do stuff like this, because I don't think you would be able to in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you're not going to see, likely not going to see any Guardians of the Galaxy characters ever appear,
yeah.
you know, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I mean, the closest thing we got was Sif from Thor, you know, so a fairly minor character there. But the third character that is sort of a surprise, and I'm kind of excited about, is Vixen, which is an African-American superheroine
mm-hmm.
Who's going to be a part of it. And her powers are that she has this, I think it's like a gem or something, that gives her the powers of any animal that she wants to have the powers of.
Yeah. I believe she was recently in Aquaman and the Others. Is that right?
Oh, that could be.
I believe so. She was very interesting.
A cool character, and, you know, the African-American female characters are pretty, you know, hard to come by, and I think of them, she's a pretty cool one. So I think that's got a lot of potential. I think it's surprising that she's on Suicide Squad because she's been on the Justice League and stuff, but apparently she has been in Suicide Squad before, so it's not unprecedented. It is cool. The other characters are, who's the super strong bruiser character, Mindboggler, who's a punk rock telepath.
I think punk rock.
Punk rock, baby. Yeah. So he'll be all emo, and the teenagers will like him maybe or something. I don't know. get in that female audience, the young female audience, the Twilight audience, right?
Exactly.
Dracula, who's an enemy of the squad in the comics and blessed with super speed. So you have your super speed character, I guess. I've never heard of that one.
No.
And Multiplex, a man named Danton Black, who's able to produce clones of himself, so kind of like Matrix in X-Men, and who is appearing as on the Flash TV series. And I have to apologize because I saw the last week when we talked about Flash and they were showing the preview of the other characters, I had mentioned that I thought Mirror Master was in there. And I guess apparently that was not Mirror Master, that was this character. So, because I saw multiple versions of himself, and I just assumed it was Mirror Master using mirrors to make multiple versions of himself. But not the case, I guess, at least according to the website I was looking at for this one. I thought it was kind of cool. I think what a great concept to have. I just hope this takes off, because I think it has a niche that I don't think anything else really has done. And so much of what DC has gotten flack for is that they're behind Marvel all the time. You know, they're always kind of catching up. But I suppose some people might say, well, Guardians of the Galaxy is, you know, beat them to the punch. But I feel like Suicide Squad's a lot different, because these are villains. I mean, these are not just rebels or misunderstood characters or bounty hunters, you know, like in Guardians. These are people who are evil, you know, murderers, and basically the you know, government has, blackmailed them, for better, you know, the best term I can come up with, into going on these dangerous suicidal missions that no one else will do, and if they don't, at least the most recent version of the storyline is they blow them up. They have like a bomb in their spinal cord, and they'll just, like, you either do this or you're death sentence. So
yeah,
definitely a different concept, and something I think that can really work. And of course, anytime you have characters in conflict, which that is ripe for, and I think it makes for good storytelling.
Well, I'm curious too, because we have, you know, Warner Bros. DC's released for what, I don't know, they put 7 films out. And I know with my old brain I won't be able to remember them all, but we had Dawn of Justice, we had the Flash, Green Lantern, we had the Superman sequel, and I believe there's a Justice League Dark in there with Guillermo del Toro. So I'm curious where this is going to fall in.
It's exciting. I hope that they move forward and kind of do what Marvel's been doing and just, man, you gotta jump in with both feet while this is a hot thing. You know, superheroes and comic books and stuff like that are the thing right now, and if you don't get in on it, you may not have your chance, and I know we're excited about it. So
heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Cool. Speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy, we mentioned it in comparison with Suicide Squad. The other thing that came out of New York City Comic Con was that Marvel is debuting, they debuted a trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy, the animated series, which it looks like it's coming on the Disney Channel or something like that, whatever the kids' shows are. I don't know what it's called. My kids watch it, but I can't remember. Yeah, I think that sounds right. And so the Guardians, animated, basically what they showed from the footage, of course, for the most part, was Rocket Raccoon. He's fairly silhouetted for a lot of it, and then eventually becomes, comes into the picture. And so it's, kind of cool. If you get a chance, check it out. Look and see if you can find the footage. And the animation looks pretty sharp, pretty cutting edge. It reminded me of, I don't know if you saw those anime versions of the, like, Wolverine and Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
It had that kind of a style, that anime kind of style to the artwork and the animation. But it's hard to tell because it just shows Rocket and he's running from some sort of space pod that's hunting him down. And in the end, Star-Lord meets him and, with the ship and has some smart aleck remark about his guns needing to be bigger or something like that. it's clever. But it looks good. I showed it to my kids. They were excited. Guardians, of course, is the big thing right now with everybody, and including kids. So it's meant. Again, this good job, Marvel. Like, their marketing team knows what they're doing.
Well, it's impressive because they clearly believed in Guardians because animation is not something you're just going to rush into. So they obviously had it in development. So kudos to them for believing their product. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's that's a good point to make, is that they backed it and are going with it, which is nice to see. So, any other news out of the New York City Comic Con or anything else that was breaking? Go ahead. Wonder Woman news, right?
Yeah, exactly. They it seems like, at least the article I read, somebody was unhappy that they have changed the origin of Wonder Woman, and I was kind of surprised at this. This is for the new movie, Dawn of Justice. I was surprised at the sort of anger at it because they already changed it for the new 52. And I personally thought the writing on it and the new, origin made a lot of sense, and that Zeus is her father.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes right along with Greek mythology.
Sure.
Zeus was...
Prometheus?
There you go. Thanks. I was thinking of a not nice word. That's a perfect word. He has a lot of children. This one just happens to be embedded in Amazonian, and now we have Wonder Woman. And what's great is, to me, that opens up the myth in that the storyline for the New 52 gets for the longest time is that she is one of Zeus's children, and she is now in line for the throne, and so are a bunch of other kids that are that she might have to deal with Hera. All sorts of things going on there, a lot of conflict. So I didn't have a problem with this, but I guess a lot of people are sort of angry that they're changing it from the old style of, what was it? Bear with me here, because I didn't really read Wonder Woman. But
that's all good. I got you. I got you on this one.
You say it then.
Yeah, so the original origin is she's made from clay, and her mother, whose name is escaping me right now, so Hippolyta, who's the queen of the Amazonians, Queen of the Amazons. You know, prays to Hera for a daughter, which of course they can't have, you know, because there are no men on the island and so forth. And so she brings the clay to life. So that's the origin of Diana slash Wonder Woman. And I have to say, I think, and I didn't read the article to read exactly what they're upset about, but I have a theory. Did they mention anything, you know, specifically that they, or they, it's just sort of like, this is the way it should be, you know, this is the origin you should do. Why are you
I got the, yeah, I got the sense it was more of why are you messing with the origin, but they did go a little further in saying that the women of Amazon, they were born out of something about death. I can't remember what it was. Men who died or something. I can't remember exactly, but I almost got the sense that they were frustrated that they changed that, and that the Amazonian women also had a different origin.
Yeah, I don't know much about that part on either end, either from the article or from Wonder Woman comics or even Greek mythology. I do know that typically in Greek mythology, when Zeus has a child with a mortal, or in this case, I suppose she's not really a mortal because she's an Amazon. So they're sort of, I don't know, they're sort of considered to be almost demigod-like, you know, in Greek mythology, because, of course, the Greeks were very misogynistic and patriarchal, and that's, you know, part of culture, you know, Western culture as a whole. But so I thought, what an intriguing concept when they redid it in the New 52, and I thought it was still fairly progressive, because I think what the complaint is the same complaint that I heard when they rewrote her origin story for New 52, and that was that there was no man in the equation for Wonder Woman, you know, that she was born of clay, and so man was not a part of her origin at all, and her powers come even from a goddess. You know, and so here you have it keeps that purity of feminine empowerment, which I think is an interesting see that complaint. My counter argument to that would be, and it wouldn't be that I disagree with that argument, because I see that point, and I think it is a stronger story in that regard, but is what I was referring to, that yeah, but it's still progressive in that most of Zeus's demigod offspring were male. Yes, and Hercules and all of them. And
Athena,
so now you
the only one I can think of that.
Well, female. And even Athena comes. She's born out of his head one thing, and I think it's because he swallows something. There's two origin myths of his, and I apologize. I'm a little rusty on my Greek mythology, but it's it's usually. It's usually a male, and so you have this female hero character, and she is in that series, which I read the first, you know, probably 8 to 12 issues of it, and then moved on, only because I couldn't afford to stay with everything I was liking about it, was that she was very much a epic hero, you know, in the lines of Perseus, Hercules, Ulysses, all of the classic Greek heroes. And I thought that was a strength of it. Go back to the Greek roots and really kind of, run with it. So I have mixed feelings about it. I just wonder how much are they going into Wonder Woman in Dawn of Justice? You know, where I'm getting a little concerned here is, let's not have a Spider-Man 3. Let's not have a Batman and Robin. Let's not spread our story too thin. I mean, my opinion of it was, and my thought of it was, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Flash, they all come into it like, you know, the end, as a sort of, maybe not the teaser like Apocalypse and X-Men or what have you, but as a sort of, maybe the finale, maybe, you know, I'm not sure. But do we even know who you know, has it been confirmed who the villain of Dawn of Justice is going to be? Or,
well, this is the tough thing about being West Coast with New York Comic Con. I don't know what's rumor, and I don't know what's confirmed. But one of the other ones I heard, and if you guys don't want to hear it, turn away, turn away. But supposedly when Superman set off a beacon that alerted General Zod that he was on Earth, it also alerted Brainiac.
Yeah.
So Brainiac found out, and from what I understand, he's the villain for Dawn of Justice, which kind of makes sense. You got to bring the super team together to fight Brainiac, but at the same time, it's like, well, wait a minute. Have they been together before, or is this like the first time we're going to meet all at once?
Yeah. Well, I would imagine they have to have a first time that they all meet. Because you don't. It's not like Avengers where you had all these origin movies. You know, you don't need an origin for Batman. I mean, You know, but for Flash, maybe you do. Maybe maybe not with the television series. I don't know. But I just don't think you. I mean, I think you can pull the characters together, but I don't think you can just do it like all of a sudden and it be good writing. And the other thing to your point, the only thing I saw about Brainiac. Was actually that he was going to be the villain of the sequel, the actual Justice League.
Okay.
So I kind of am hoping that's the case, that it's, that he's the, you know, the sequel to Dawn of Justice. Justice League, I guess, is what we should just call it, is going to be that. So hopefully they are just sort of going to kind of bookend maybe the Batman versus Superman storyline with the this sort of teaser of the other characters. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But that's the only concern I have as far as, you know, being upset about the origin of the character. I see where people are coming from, but like I said, I think that that's still kind of progressive and cool, and it's certainly made for a good story in the comics because it was this whole thing about being heir to Zeus, who was missing, and it was this kind of murder mystery sort of story. Too. I actually got to the end of, and I kind of think I might pick that up and trade paperback, but that's another story. So, any other news, or that seems like that was the big stuff.
Hold on a second. I think I'm getting some kiddos here, so.
Oh, cool.
Let me coordinate this real quick. And, oh, sorry, guys. Hold on a minute.
It's fine.
Come on in. Sorry. I'm on the phone with Jason. Hold on a minute. We wrap this up and started cooking. Jason Applegate. Fish had to thaw, so it's in the sink in the water thaw. Yeah, fish sticks. Okay, sorry, Jason.
Oh, no biggie.
Do the Halloween costumes?
Yeah, let's go to the Halloween costumes.
And I'll just pick up with, I don't have any more news. And you go, okay, let's talk. All right. Well, I don't know, Matthew. That's not mine. No, Jason, I don't have any other news. So what's next?
Well, coaching. I know my kids have been chomping at the bit about their Halloween costumes, and we've already kind of gotten into the process of figuring those out. So I thought we would talk Halloween costumes, you know, what our kids are being, what they've been in the past, ideas. I know I asked my kids for some cool ideas that they had for costumes that they think other people might, you know, be into or want to do, and, you know, what the trends and stuff are. And then I thought we'd finish with our vintage retro conversation that we've been kind of featuring on a weekly basis with our favorite Halloween costumes, you and I, whether that's the slit in the face mask that always bit your tongue, or you know, the old bed sheet with holes cut in it, or what have you, you know? So
perfect.
Let's start off with what are your kids doing? Have they picked out their Halloween costumes yet? Or
there's been a lot of talk, nothing specific. It's funny. So November 1st or 2nd, they already start planning what the family is going to do next year with a theme. But as we get closer to Halloween, it's always something along the lines of, well, no, I want to be this. I want to be this. And invariably, we will go to the store to buy the costume, and James, my son, is a ninja. So he's been an engine now 3 years in a row. We've actually tried to convince him to do something else, but somehow it turns into an engine. At least last year, it kind of went a little bit away, and he was a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger ninja, I'm not a big fan of the Power Rangers, but at least it was a little something different. But I don't know specifically what the kiddos want. They get excited and change their minds up a bit, so it's going to be when we get to the store and they have in their mind what they want to be, but then they see what they, you know, the reality of what the costume is. I think that is a big influence. But how about your kiddos? Yes.
Our kids are, we always do, well, not always, we've bought the costumes before, you know, the ones you get at the stores, especially when they were younger, but I don't know if it's the theatrical side of us, because Megan and I both do plays and musicals, and so we try to do, you know, kind of more original style costumes, and like you, we've done themes in the past. Last year was an Adventure Time theme, so Cademan was the Ice King from Adventure Time, and Sabrina was Fiona, who's the female version of Finn, of Finn and Jake, and I was Lemon Grab, who was sort of...
Nice.
Yes. It was a very fun costume, and it was fun to do the family theme thing, and we've done it in the past, too. We did an Egyptian theme. We've done DC, where I was Bizarro Superman, and Cade was Superman, and Sabrina was Batgirl. But then, you know, there are some years where one of us wants to go off in a different direction, and this is one of those years where Sabrina is going to be a China doll. So,
cool.
So she's excited about that. And Cademan, he wanted to be a Dalek from Doctor Who because he's been big into Doctor Who lately. But Dad kind of convinced him that that would not work with the help of others, that would not work for school because you would not be able to sit down and move around and it would be this huge cumbersome thing.
Yeah.
And so I promised him that we would do a Dalek for the Motor City Comic Con when that comes around. So you have to wait and see, and if maybe I broke my word to him. I hope I don't and that I remember to do it. But, you know, that it'll either be a parenting win or parenting fail come May.
Yes, I guess. That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, exactly. And it hopefully is a win. I've got some ideas of how we could do it, but it just would be too cumbersome to wear to school, and so he'd have to have an alternate costume or something like that.
Sure.
So he ended up going with, and he does this often, which is to his, I think it's great. He's been Magneto in the past, the classic purple and red one, and a lot of people didn't quite know who he was, you know, because the X-Men hadn't become that huge and it had been a while. But this year, he's got a little obscure, and he wants to be Doctor Strange, so he's kind of ahead of the curve.
Very cool.
This one with the new movie coming out. His Nana, his grandma, is working on the cape, and she just finished the red cape with the Eye of Agamotto on it, and I have to say, it looks pretty solid. She's definitely the seamstress, and Kate and I are the idea men, and she's the one who puts it together. So we're looking for bits and pieces of it. We've got the cape. She's working on the big, huge Dracula-looking collar. I don't know what else to call it, the wizard collar that sticks up, and it's all about finding the rest of the pieces, but he's excited. I'm excited to paint a goatee on his face because I think that'll look hilarious. But I thought, what a unique thing.
That's very cool.
What kid goes with Doctor Strange? Mine. He goes for the out there ones. So I know other things that are probably popular. Let's kind of talk about some of the things that you think we'll see a lot of. For me, it's got to be Guardians. I mean, you're going to see about 100 Star-Lords and, like, 500 Rocket Raccoons out there, I'm kind of thinking, and some group costumes.
Sure.
I don't know if you've seen them in the – I haven't really looked in the stores, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're already out and amongst the stores. But
before the movie came out, we did see – we saw a bunch of those characters at Comic-Con when we had the trailers and all that, so they knew what they were going to look like. So we had a bunch Star-Lord, obviously. I have seen at other cons, not at San Diego, but I saw some great Groots. And I'm like, I don't know how you're walking around or doing anything.
Oh, yeah.
My Lord, that looks awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I do remember now that my daughter wants to be Elsa from Frozen. I know that's not a brand new movie, but she can still...
but still ragingly popular, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see, I'm sure we're going to see some play on Batman, like maybe a pink Batman or something along those lines from the the memes that were popping up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Probably some Wonder Woman because of her new outfit that was revealed.
Sure.
Maybe I will go as the new Daredevil that was revealed. That looks pretty simple. And,
there you go.
Non-committal. You go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that was like when I went as Sabretooth when Cade went as Magneto to fit in. So all I had to really do was find some werewolf claws and glue some sideburns on the side of my face because I couldn't
perfect
grow them in well enough. So that was a good way to go. I think you're right on the money. I think we'll see a lot of Winter Soldier probably costumes too. I know my kids gave some suggestions of what they thought a lot of kids would be into, and Black Widow was one that Sabrina had mentioned. Batgirl is always kind of a common one. Those are kind of the ones that Wonder Woman you mentioned already. I wonder how much Star Wars do you think is going to be out there this?
Oh,
this
that's
summer?
A good point.
Or just Halloween? I mean,
well, I think that's the goofy part is that the characters we know, that they're sort of showing pictures of, are now aged. So like Princess Leia, Han Solo, and Luke. So that would be us going out as that. So I don't know how much it's going to entice the kids.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I think we're kind of in a limbo area here with Star Wars. I mean, because the Clone Wars has kind of run its course, so you're not going to see a lot of... I'd be surprised if you see a lot of Anakin and...
Rebels is just coming out.
Yeah, well, and I also wondered if, Guardians kind of took that, that science fiction fantasy role over a little bit, too, where, some of the kids that would normally be a Jedi, or something like that, might end up being Star-Lord or Drax or something instead. So, interesting to sort of contemplate. But what about, and you spoke to it a little bit about Comic-Cons and the costume cosplay that you saw, and it sounds to me like you were talking mostly about what you thought some of the adults would wear, which, of course, adults dress up for Halloween, too. I'm guilty myself of that. Kids, what were some of the favorite kids' costumes that you saw at Comic-Cons or some of the costume contests that they have for kids? I know they have a great one at Motor City for kids. Any that stand out to you?
We saw one of the coolest Rocket Raccoons I've ever seen. It was a little buddy. He had to be 3 at the oldest.
Yeah.
And it was so funny to see him running around because it looked pretty realistic. I was like, wow. So, I'm trying to think of what else we saw. There weren't that many kids walking around, certainly ones that were dressed up.
You went to a much busier Comic-Con stuff, too. So, absolutely, you wouldn't see as much of that. I remember with mine, we saw a pretty darn cool Dr. Octopus.
That's cool.
And he had all his arms. Like, 2 of them just kind of came up. But then the other 2 were hooked with fishing line to his actual arms. And so he was able to kind of have some mobility with those. And it looked cool because it was, homemade. The other thing I saw was a whole Justice League of about, like, probably 6 or 7 year olds. They had, like, the entire classic Justice League. Like, all the ones you remember from the Super Friends, which was cool to see this whole group of kids that all went together and went in on those costumes. And, of course, some of them were, the bot store costumes, but some of them they didn't have, so they had to get kind of creative with it. That worked out really nicely. Yeah, so those were cool. But I think the most impressive one I saw was a War Machine that actually, like, lit up and had, like, a part that moved on it, it had, like, some robotic elements to it. And Dad obviously, like, put a lot of time and effort into it. It looked pretty cool. It was mostly made out of some sort of cardboardish material, so it wasn't like they spent, $500 on this costume or something like that. But it was pretty cool for a kid to have. And then the other one I liked that was just hilarious was Tony Stark. There just was a kid dressed up as Tony Stark. He had a had a white shirt on with the what's it called? The thing that he wears in his heart. I can't think of the name.
Yeah.
You know, glowing through it, and he had the painted on goatee, and thankfully he didn't have anything like a liquor bottle or anything like referencing his good alcoholism in the early years, but it was still highly amusing to see this, you know, Rico Suave kind of Tony Stark kid running around. It was highly
That's
amusing.
Cool.
Yeah, it was funny. So I love Halloween. I look forward to it all the time. I love trick-or-treating with the kids and seeing all the other costumes.
Yeah.
You know, the parties and stuff like that. And definitely the nerdiest of holidays, I would have to say.
Oh, yeah, it's one of my favorites. One of my favorites. And I'll be honest, we're going to touch upon, you know, growing up in our Halloween costumes. One of the nice things about living out here in Vegas is you can actually wear your Halloween costume. You don't have to put a coat over your costume or plan to wear a warm costume. So, yeah, you definitely get the costume experience out here.
That's a good point. Yeah, that is an excellent point that you can do that. Now, do you have to plan on the other side where you can't wear too warm of a costume? Or is it in October, I imagine it's pretty chill weather, like not, you know, what, like 70s, probably 60s?
It's in the 60s, and what's nice is once the sun goes down, because it's really, I mean, as dumb as it sounds, the sun provides heat. Yeah, duh.
Yeah.
But when the sun goes down, it gets really cool here because it's the desert. So you can, you really find a nice temperature where you don't, at least we've been here 10 years. We haven't had to worry about it being too hot.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, because definitely not the case up here in the Midwest where
a lot of days
Halloween would be like the first day it snowed, you know?
Yes,
and you're just
exactly.
like, okay. But I have to admit the last couple holidays, you know, global warming is not, it's nothing, not everything's bad about global warming. I'm sorry.
See,
but you know,
the
Halloween's been, that's right, glass half full here. Halloween, it's not snowing. So there you go.
Nice.
There you go, Al Gore.
Nice.
But yeah, let's talk about some of our favorite costumes, or maybe most embarrassing costumes, or both, from when we were kids. What was the staple costume that you always went to, like your son's ninja? You know, the heart walk with the heart wand, you know?
There's three that I remember as
okay.
a kid. This is, I guess I picked them, but I probably mentioned to my mom that I liked this or something. I don't know, or watched this show, what have you. I don't specifically, it's not like when you're 9 or 10 and you're like, this is what I want to be. But I remember my mom made me a Batman TV show-esque costume.
Ooh.
And I believe it was gray tights.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, man, I can't, I'm sure
probably some underoos involved in there
exactly. somehow. Exactly. I'm sure there's a Polaroid of it somewhere, but I can't even remember. I just remember I was Batman with the rounded ears, and it was awesome. My mom made it. It was very cool. And then I remember 2 years. One year I was Captain America with that flimsy plastic outfit that you put over your clothes with the mask that you couldn't see through or breathe through with the rubber band strap.
It cuts your tongue if you stick your tongue through it.
Exactly.
And you have to stick your tongue through it as a kid. It's just like that's what it's just too tempting.
Yeah, you
too
have
tempting.
To. Have to. And then the next year, same thing. I was the Incredible Hulk.
Nice.
Again, plastic mask green.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember mom like painting my face green, like using green makeup on my face so that it was, you know, the full effect so you couldn't see through the eyes, you know, and all that stuff.
Sure.
So those are the three I remember very distinctly that were nerdy, that were
those are
my coup de grace. How about you?
I think, let me comment on the split mask one too, that always was something I found amusing about those, was the outfit that you wore, you know, the plastic thing you were talking about that you just throw over your regular clothes.
Yes.
It always amused me that it had a picture of the character on the chest of the character.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, if you were Optimus Prime, not only did you have the mask and this costume that looked like Optimus Prime, but Optimus Prime wore Optimus Prime on his own armor.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was sort of, it always confused me a little bit as a child. And I was like, why would Optimus Prime wear a picture of himself on his, I was that kid. Sorry everyone. But it amused me greatly, even as a kid. I wondered if, well, maybe it was so that everyone really did know who you were that way. You know, they there could be no mistake about it.
Well, it's in case you had to wear the jacket, and you could unzip the jacket just far enough they could see what
good
it was.
Point. Excellent point as well. And then, of course, you have to reference the Seinfeld bit. I don't know if you've heard this or not, but he always loved Superman, and he would dress as Superman, and he always said, what was the point of the Superman mask, the mask that came with the Superman costume? Because it's just a human face, you know? But no, you had to wear the mask because I guess it had the curl in the front, you know? So if you couldn't curl your own hair maybe that way or something, I suppose. So also something that was amusing and kind of sad to see those things go by the wayside. And certainly costumes are, I don't know if you think this or not, but they sure are a lot more expensive than they were then. I mean, what were those costumes, like probably $5 that you'd get at like Walgreens or whatever, you know, wherever our moms would get those?
But that's the flip side, because I do remember going down to this, the whatever, Kmart or whatever, and getting those.
Yeah.
And they lasted, they didn't even last the night. They were done.
True.
They were
true.
Done. But these ones that we buy our kids, you know, they're 20, 30, maybe $40.
Yeah.
And we had a thing where we would go, and they would keep their one Halloween costume that they had for the year. But then we'd go afterwards, and they super discount them, and we'd get them a whole bunch so that they could have stuff for dress-up. And they last a long time. So that's – I'm not saying I'm going to pay that much for stuff, but at least they're better quality than what we have.
True. And then, yeah, they last a lot longer. Heck, your kids outgrow them like they do the rest of their clothes for the most part. So, yeah, that's a good point. That is true. That is also true. So, anyway, to get back to some of my favorites, I have to say one of my favorites was when I was a kid, and we didn't have a lot of money when I was a kid, but we did try to do homemade costumes every now and then. And one was He-Man in its glory days. And my mom basically got this flesh-colored like long underwear, and filled it with like pillowy things and sewed it so that it looked like muscles. So I had these huge muscles, and then of course the weird metal bra thing he wore.
Yeah.
She made that. And then the cool thing that I remember about that was that, we had a party at the church that we went to too. And so I just had to switch out and I was Goliath. And my little brother was David, and so I had to be David and God. So it was a two-in-one costume. So that was probably the most impressive aspect of that one. Another one that was sort of a weird one, I was talking about my son being Doctor Strange and wanting to be a Dalek and kind of being out there, is do you remember the Noid from the Domino's Pizza commercial?
Oh, God, yeah. Avoid the Noid. Heck, yeah.
Avoid the Noid. I was the Noid one year for Halloween. My mom had sewed the costume with the ears and the big old shoes and everything, and I have no idea why that was what we decided I was going to be, but that's what I was that year. I guess I must have found those commercials to be highly enjoyable as a child. So that one is maybe one of the more unique costumes that I've had. And then I'd have to say the other one comes from when I don't even remember it, like you were talking about, where it was like underoos, and I was Superman, which was fun. But it's actually my brother's costume that I saw in the old Polaroids, like you were talking about. And he was actually Shazam, Captain Marvel.
Whoa, nice.
Right? But, of course, what do you think my mom called him when he put the costume on because she had no idea who Shazam was?
What'd you call him, Superman?
The Flash. No, because I was
the Flash,
fan, clearly.
Yeah.
But it was the Flash because you have that lightning bolt in red and yellow, and it was just the Flash with a cape, right? So for the longest time, you know, that's what she thought that character was, and that we were Superman and the Flash, which, hey, at least she knew who the Flash was. But when I found that Polaroid, I was like, really? There was a Captain Marvel, a Shazam costume back then? And my son, my brother wore it, and I was Superman. So that was kind of a cool, unique costume. And you got to go with the underoos from back in the 80s. At some point, every boy's costume was made of underoos. The Velcro cape was too cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Good memories, man.
Absolutely. So, I think a good episode 15. Hopefully we've given you guys some ideas about costumes. Hopefully you've gone down memory lane maybe a little bit with what your costumes were, and hit us up on the various social media sites and let us know what some of your favorite costumes were. Heck, if you are willing to post a picture of yourself in your costume, I think we could probably find a way to feature that somehow. I have a feeling we could work something out to embarrass you on a, you know, national level, if that can be at all possible. But if nothing else, we can talk about it on our podcast and embarrass you in that regard, or praise you, really. Because even when we do embarrass, we praise and honor. Yeah. I was annoyed. Come on. That's just weird.
Cool, man. Awesome. Well, that was episode 15, like Jason said. Send us those pictures. Hit us up on social media. Can't wait to see it. And until next week, have a nerdy week.